I imagine that if we've been drinking gin, we'll have a completely different outlook.
Well, I just noticed that we drank half a litre.
Of gin?
Drunk-a-hoo! Hey! Drunk-a-hoo! Drunk-a-hoo! Hey! We talk pissed, drunk-a-hoo! Hey! Drunk-a-hoo! Drunk-a-hoo! Hey! Drunk-a-hoo,
drunk-a-hoo, hey. Drunk-a-hoo. Yeah, so no, we decided we're going to call it the Drunk-a-hoo podcast.
It's better than the Toddcast, isn't it, frankly?
And it's a clever play on words, because it's taking Doctor Who and Drunker and kind of merging them together to form...
It's Michael McIntyre-esque.
No, it's good.
Yes.
No, you're right, it's Michael McIntyre-esque. And tonight it's gin, and also I think I have an outburst of hay fever, so I may start sneezing.
We haven't actually broken the terms of our contract by saying, because we said wine before.
We did say wine before, but I think only as long as we're not sober, as long as we're not in a situation where we might have fast reactions, be able to come up with things that are.
Functioning. I'm just worried that we're not conning.
No, we're not. I don't want to entice people in thinking they're going to get wine based.
No, and it's actually a gin based thing because they can go, the wine.
Yeah, we are on spirits. We aren't going to do the whole of Doctor Who again. We are. Tonight we've watched the Chameleon box set, Tales box set.
Will didn't actually tell me this, so we watched.
I was maintaining the suspense. When we watched the King's Demons there, I even used the audio navigation menu to make sure there was no, like.
Yeah, brilliant.
That's carefully concealing the Master's presence.
100% brilliant.
Up to the point where Anthony Ainley turned up in an obvious ginger wig and ginger beard as Anthony Ainley.
Je suis le Master. Great.
Le maître.
But what you failed to, you know, notify me of the fact was that we were watching his last story and his first story, but...
The wrong way around.
Yeah, we got to ask about it, really, didn't we?
Yeah, that's because we decided to watch Planet Fire, and then decided to watch another one.
Well, you decided! I swear you even said we're going to watch King's Demons, or...
No, you said, of all the Peter Davison stories you hadn't seen, the one you wanted to see was Planet Fire, so we watched Planet Fire.
Yeah, but given you said we're going to watch one of the two-parters, I think it would have been fairly shrewd if you...
We might do that. And then we did. And anyway, it didn't matter because it meant you had no idea about Chameleon, which is fine, and it still didn't ruin the King's Demons because we'll come on to that, but that'd be difficult. And my favourite thing about watching Planet Fire was you sitting there in episode one going, "Well, the Master's in this. How's the Master going to come into it? Where's the Master? How's the Master going to come into it?" And then being genuinely surprised by the reveal at the end of episode.
No, that was brilliant. I was so like, "Is he going to be? Is he going to be just?" You know, pop out of a volcano? Is he going to... someone going to be sick and the Master's just going to be there? It was actually... When he... I know it's ridiculous looking back, the only person wearing a black suit suddenly turns out to be the Master, but I loved it. I thought that was great.
To be fair, in the King's Demons, he's not the only person wearing a beard.
No, but he's the only person that is just speaking with a terrible French accent.
King's champion, Magna Carta. Jeez, your compression eliminates
us a bit more Mexican.
No, but I do. As I was saying to you when we watched it, I do. I love the fact that the Master isn't going, "I'm going to destroy all of humanity." He's going, "I'm just going to cause a little mischief." Actually, not much would really happen. And the Doctor's not even that annoyed with it, just like, "Oh, the Master, oh, you cheeky little scamp."
Yeah, possibly the Doctor's also sitting there going, "So are you the Master or are you the meddling monk?"
Or just the slightly naughty schoolboy.
Yeah, which is, you know, definitely, I think, what you want for Doctor Who stories.
It's all right for a two-parter. I'd rather have the Master prancing around just trying to cause a little bit of havoc rather than... In Black Orchid, when it's just, some retarded guy because of a flower. That's just shit. Although it's actually a better story. But the reason for it's shit. Whereas King's Demons, having the Master just pop up for two stories is more fun to go as a reason to
do a two-parter. I can't really concentrate on that because I'm still just busy dissociating myself in my head with your use of the word retarded.
No, it's from the Guardian today. You shouldn't redo it. You should. It's up there with the N-word.
So you've done it anyway.
Do you not
slavishly follow the Guardian?
No. What I figured is that I was reclaiming the word.
You can only do that if you are.
Yeah, that's
what you've done there.
Yeah, clever.
Anyway, so we started with Planet of Fire, and you hadn't seen Perry's introductions before.
No, we had to have a little break while we went for Shifty, and it was great.
You didn't understand a word you just said there. You went for breaking what?
We had to have a little break where we went for a Shifty little tug.
Well, I wouldn't have minded if you'd left the room.
Yeah, you got a dry wipe saver. No, it was... I mean, I hadn't even heard of it, because I don't really read about Doctor Who, you know, that I haven't seen, because I like it to be as much a surprise as possible.
Yeah.
And when we came to the, you know, Perry in a bikini, despite her not being my favourite companion, in the sexy...
Mm-hmm. Let's not.
You've already heard this, so you know this. So,
if you haven't, you need to definitely stop now and listen to 1 hour and 16 seconds of us discussing the relative merits of different companions' bodies.
But she's gorgeous. What a body! And no one can not like that. That is a
well, doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah, but you get the master in a suit.
Yeah, I get 52-year-old Anthony, ain't you ever?
I know that floats your boat, though. Oh, you get... What's his name? Perry's mate.
Perry's stepfather.
Yeah, that's unbelievable for a start. But you get him in...
I don't find Dallas Adams attractive.
His body's great.
He's clearly worked out.
And you get Turlough with shorts.
We've already established that Turlough is not on the list. Let's not go back down...
And
you get a whole load of people on Sarn wearing rubbish shorts that look like nappies.
And you get the Doctor wearing short sleeves shirt. Well, rolled up.
Well, you know, he's all right looking in it. But my favourite thing about the Doctor's costume is that he's just... he gets this tracer to detect the, like, alarm signal, the homing signal thing from the Tryon artifact. No explanation ever given why the Tryon artifact is on Earth.
No.
And why it leads them to Sarn.
You know when people just drop things? Oh, shit! It fell to Earth.
Turlough accidentally take it on holiday there on a school exchange trip to Lanzarote and couldn't do it.
Well, you say that, but given it looks like a massive dildo, I'm suspecting that someone did just
go on a sex holiday.
We go on a dirty weekend to Earth, we're taking that, and someone left it behind.
I love that when Turlough rescues Perry... And he then, like, puts her into bed and then suddenly gets excited when he realises there's a massive sex toy ready to...
Should I? There's not enough time.
And then he sees the logo and it's like, oh, oops, it's one of Dad's. no, that means me. What's it like? Oh, no, I like that the Doctor wears this ridiculously hideous cardigan rather than his normal coat. But he's sitting by the beach with his little tracer thing. And he is just sitting there looking at the tracer with a glass of water. It's as if he's reading, but there's nothing on it. He suddenly livens up and it starts beeping, but he's just sat there, you think, quite lonely. But also, I'm picturing him as like the worst kind of rubbish holidaymaker. He won't wear a t-shirt. He's put his cardigan on. That's his. That's how he gives in to the warm weather. He's taken his big frocky coat thing off and he's wearing his cardigan. But otherwise, it's long shirt sleeves. A little glass of water, and maybe read his book. Don't care if it's 35 degrees, that's what I'm going to do.
With your skin tone, that's fair enough.
And probably, in the evening, he'll be going around Lanzarote trying to find where he can get, like, steak and chips, or the most British thing that he can find on the menu, or maybe a nice curry.
I don't think Pete Davidson's like a curry.
No, you know what I mean. He'd be out.
Yeah, he'd have steak.
Hunting for, like, chicken and chips.
Yeah, chicken and chips. I don't even think he'd have a steak.
Do you know when you go to, like, continental restaurants and then you see that they've got, even, like, curry houses or Chinese places, you see they've got chicken and chips in the menu just for the people who really want an English
meal. Yeah, he would definitely have that. He would probably even go, he would ask them before, he'd say, what is the most English thing you have on this menu? I worked for UNIT in the 70s, and I want... If you haven't got chicken and chips, I want you to come up with the closest thing to that.
Semolina pudding.
I haven't had that in years.
I've never had it. I mean, what is that?
At school? Did you not have it at school?
I didn't have school dinners at school.
Well, I didn't. You had a little bit of something, a bit of jam.
I had a packed lunch. I'd have a little jam sandwich or maybe a tomato ketchup sandwich and a Capri Sun.
Bullshit, you had tomato ketchup. Your parents clearly liked you to have a nutritious lunch.
Yeah. Tomatoes are fruit.
Yeah, but they wouldn't give you a jam sandwich. Well, no, what was the other one you said?
Ketchup.
Ketchup, they wouldn't give you that.
Ketchup sandwich?
No one would have given you a ketchup sandwich. You might have made that.
You mean no one would give me one? Just because social services never found out. This works out all right. I like ketchup. God, I like ketchup.
Do you know the people that don't like that like ketchup but don't like tomatoes?
I do know those people, yeah. They're a small tribe in South Asia. What? No, I do know people like that. Yeah.
That is absolutely mental.
Also, people who like tomatoes who don't like ketchup. I mean, what the fuck?
I'm more that side, though, because tomatoes are a fruit. They have a good texture, but the taste. But to like the taste, but not the texture, is ridiculous.
I like barbecues, but I don't like barbecue sauce.
I agree with you there, though.
Actually, I didn't mind it that much. I like...
I like barbecues, but I don't like spit roasts.
It's not true, is it?
No. Sadly.
Because you like both of them. Why are you laughing into the sofa?
Just my own dirty mind.
We had skewered dinner last night, didn't we? What else do we think about Planet Fire? I like that mask reveal. I think Anthony Amy is very good in it.
I think the scale is great. Any story that gets away from it just being a studio-based thing is brilliant.
It's a bit weird. There's the kind of Timonov's house or wherever that place is in episode one that does look like someone's holiday villa that doesn't appear again at all. And you're like, well, where is that supposed to be in relation to this very studio-bound restaurant?
J&T's little holiday villa for a day. No, but I think that's good until... You know, I was going, oh, God, look at the scale, and it's great. Mm. Until you said, yeah, but the Lanzarote scenes.
Let's go to Lanzarote, because that would look really alien, and then let's kind of undermine that by also being in Lanzarote.
Yeah, and then the scenes where all the inside of the planet are just studio, both undermine each other, so you'd be better going...
They tie in quite well. I think there's a lot of bits where they go outside and they walk through a door, and actually the continuation is really quite well done.
I think you'd be better
and
going...
They do some handheld stuff in the studio as well.
We'll do all the studio stuff. We're not going to do it in the studio, the inside, but we'll do in J&T's holiday villa.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll do all the Lanzarote stuff. Even say we're going to do it in a studio or in England.
It reminded me of... The holiday villa bit reminded me of you probably know what this is. There was a late 80s-ish, I think Spanish, one of these TV series that they made for kids that was then dubbed into English, and it was called The Legend of Tim Tyler, the Boy Who Lost His Laugh, and it was about a boy who sold his laugh to an evil businessman who couldn't laugh and who realised that the ability to laugh would help him secure business deals and stuff. He's called the Baron. And he buys Tim Tyler's laugh, and then Tim Tyler spends... in exchange, he sells to Tim Tyler in return the ability to win any bet he makes. And so Tim Tyler then decides he wants his laugh back because his life's gone to shit because he can't laugh.
Yeah.
And it's not nice. And he basically spends God knows how many episodes of this thing on a little quest thing trying to get to the Baron, trying to... get his laugh back, and using his power of winning bets to help him get there.
Why didn't you just bet the geezer for his laugh?
Yeah, you may have ruined the last episode there. He says to the Baron, I bet I can't get my laugh back.
Oh, fucking hell.
But he has to get there, so he has to find him and track him down.
Well, he has to find him. He's just go, I'll get a taxi to Baron von Lastface's house, and I'll bet him...
Anyway, that's in the kind of Spain, he can bet his mate, I bet I can get my laugh back.
If I just said to you, right now, I bet you I can't get my laugh back, that would be the end of the story. She'd go, no, you can't. Got it.
I liked that show, don't ruin it.
I have just ruined it. Don't deny that I've not just ruined your...
I'm not going to deny that you haven't just... What?
Well, no, what I'm saying is, if I say to you... Right, I've sold my laugh. And I bet you... No, if I say to you that I bet you that...
Are you now just going to say to me exactly the same thing you've already said to me once, because I understood the first time?
Yeah, but that's ruining the story, doesn't it?
So... You've ruined the legend of Tim Tyler, the boy.
Well, I have, haven't. No, but I actually have. And that's what I was trying to get you to admit, the fact that I'd ruined it.
You have?
Yeah.
You support it. It's all right. It's not. I don't suppose I know it's not available on DVD. I'm never going to be able to watch it again. It doesn't really matter. But my point was, the Baron lives in this kind of big building, and it reminded me of the James Hughes holiday villa in Planet Fire.
It was good to see Barbara Shelley.
Yeah. It's a fair point. What? Well, you try and keep it on your side of the sofa, because I don't want to smell it. Oh, God! Oh! Jesus, that's... You know, all those bits in Planet of Fire, where they're sat there going, the huge amounts of gas being produced. Right, yeah, great. What's this? This isn't numismaton gas. This has no restorative properties. It fucking stinks. This is the thing that the Master ends up in right at the end, where he's like, oh, doctors, have some mercy for your own. Oh, God, whoa, doctor. I did think something. Oh, I know what I thought was. I thought I was thinking about Antonioni. I think the scenes where he's commanding Chameleon and you realise they're just shot in like a small green corner somewhere.
Yeah.
And he's just, you know, he's presumably surrounded by a bunch of crew, and he's just there, and he's got a convincingly...
No, he's brilliant there, and he
pulls it off completely.
He's brilliant in the whole story. When, like I said to you...
When he's chasing
the scene where he changes back into, you know, the cliffhanger for part one, you suddenly go, oh, the Master's there. If, you know, if you don't know, which I didn't... I knew he was in the story, but didn't know it was him. That's so fun. And when it is just evil cackle, you can't help but be...
Oh, he's chewing it up, brilliant.
You can't help but be on his side slightly. It's like, brilliant. That is what I want the Master to be.
That is my problem with the Master. That's not even the problem with the Master, and you know, with a lot of villains and things, but I basically am on the Master's side. I want, it's not exactly like I want him to win, but I do, I quite like him, and... that is a problem.
But that's when, because what you're saying about, because we followed up with the King's Demons, and when he is doing something that is basically just a bit of, you know, tomfoolery, and we agreed that in the end of time he does the same thing. He just goes, he does something that isn't actually that evil.
When he uses the gate to make everyone the Master.
Yeah, the Doctor can reverse that so easily. He surely knows this. And he does it just to annoy him. But it's just a really fun thing. And you're going, that's really fun.
It's the Tenth Doctor going, hey, the Master, why did you make everyone on the planet, apart from me and Donna and Wilf, look like you? And the Master's response is, oh, shits and giggles.
Yeah, and I think that is something that you just love the Master for. That he will just do things that the Doctor will find slightly irritating. And he's quite happy to just disappear for a few years. That be his only...
Right, Time Lords, quick question. Which one of you left the toilet seat up again? The Master! Yep. Knew it. For all the, oh, my dear Doctor, you have been naive, which was lovely to hear. It's quickly followed by, you have been naive, for I have come to 13th century England to fuck around a bit. I mean, he's lucky he hasn't caught the bubonic plague or something while he's there, but...
You can't really go into that, though, because that's just a common Doctor Who complaint, isn't it?
Yes.
Time Lords must be, you know, immune to every disease known to anything. The Doctor would just pop to... And it'd be like, oh, it's not the man on it, it's every virus he carries, because he could wipe out...
Yeah. Yeah, he could actually, the fact that the Master's been hanging around the 70s, he could probably just take back the clap to 30th century Britain.
You could go to 2008 and just take SARS around.
Yeah, foot and mouth. He could go to Terry Nation Survivors and get the vial and take that back to, like, King Alfred, put it on the cakes.
Oh, I thought you said the 2008 one, which actually was vile.
Peter! Where's Peter? I, the Master, have taken him back to the 15th century. You'll never find him there. He's one of the princes in the tower now. But the Master, why did you do that? Oh, I just thought it'd be funny.
I think we need, at this point, just to pause it slightly, and get more gin. I think the entropy of...
Well, you go and make more gin. I'll just stay here. I should explain what is... We kind of failed to introduce ourselves. I'm Will, and he's Laurie. And that's pretty much all that matters, but... You know, it might be polite to have said who we were, but we were just chatting. Yeah, so you know. Oh, he's screwed something up. What have you done?
I just put a little bit of tonic over the side.
Oh, he's just spilled a bit of tonic, it's fine. But yeah, he's... I discovered listening to the first one back, actually, that as I get pissed, I get really quite kind of... I don't really say posh, but you know, very middle-class sounding. So I apologise for that, obviously. You don't know, you pulled yourself a...
Yes.
Good. I was just explaining. Oh, it doesn't matter what I was explaining. I'll be fine later. Where did we get to?
Have you been slagging me off?
No.
If we're a team,
we are a team. And there's no lorry in team. That's not the phrase, is it?
And there is a meat in meat pie.
And and there is a team in master.
Yeah.
Yeah. Team senior. There's one of the names he hasn't used yet. He'll get there. He'll get there. We were also saying how Laurie was quite keen on Sigil Estram as a cunning nom de plume. And I was saying, you know, at least James Stoker, the Radio Times credit, isn't as shit as Leon Naitai. What's the portrait you credited as?
Neil Toynay. That's brilliant.
Neil Toynay is a much better one.
Neil Toynay... And the fact that no one ever guesses first time that Portreeve is the Master.
Yeah.
Do you know what?
I think people do, actually, but I genuinely didn't. No one does. I was like 12 when I watched it the first time. And the thing that I knew the Master was in it. I'd seen the Master on his comedy stairlift, you know, where he, for some reason, decides to create a hard-on web for Adric that's 3 feet off the ground, but Anthony Ainley, being 2 feet tall, has to stand on a special little lift to go up and down to it. You go, well, why did you either not build the hard-on web lower or get some, as like a little stepladder or something? But no, he gets in and presses the button and then waiting. And Adric's like there going, well, you're gonna come and talk me? Yeah, wait a minute, I've just got to get up. Oh, my dear Adric. All right, Master, what are you going to do now? I'm going to go right down to the console and press some buttons.
I'm going to make a full complete to Stanner.
Yeah, oh.
I first watched that when I was 21 or 22. Mm-hmm. Still didn't get it.
It's the kind of thing you do at a coming of age party, isn't it?
That's definitely coming. No, I really didn't get it. I thought he was...
Because Anthony Ainley's brilliant as the portrait of
female. Yeah, no, so I got the... When I went back to the classic series, I watched Genesis, and then obviously series 3 had been on, and I'd... seen the Master, so I got the New Beginnings box set when it first came out. So I didn't know most of what was going on, and he comes back and he steals Tree Master's body, and I did find that. I was like, that's ludicrous. He's stolen the body of someone that's an anagram of his name. That's so stupid.
It is ridiculous. I mean, it is nominative determinism in action, but it is a bit ridiculous. You know, I wrote... I kind of started writing years ago when I used to write fanfic when I was a teenager. I started a fanfic thing where the whole concept it was a very fanish thing. It was like I don't know if it was a Doctor meeting the Master out of order. I think it was like a Pertwee Missing Adventure, but with the Master before Delgado, but late, because right. I was like, there's no reason they should meet in order, and actually it's ridiculous that he always does. There's no reason at all why they should meet in order. So I thought, all right, well, he becomes a Delgado Master, and I had, like, a character who looked like the Delgado Master, because actually it was his face that the Master had then stolen. It wasn't actually him, but it was kind of a misleading. And also, I think I might have even made him or another character a name that was an anagram of Master that wasn't the Master either, and actually the Master was, like, another character entirely, because that's the kind of clever trick that I was playing on the never-to-be-read-by reader. But yeah, it is ridiculous. It's a shame that Tremus is called Tremus. It's a perfectly good name, but it's a bit silly that the Master's wandering around. I was going to take Luvik, but my name isn't the Kuval, so I won't be that.
No, I mean, yeah, call him Adam. It's fine. But actually, it becomes a better surprise when the Portreeve is the Master, because you're sort of going, wow, it's not going to be him, because Tremus, oh, we've worked that out.
Well, also, Shardavan is like your trick, isn't he? Shardavan is made up to be a bit evil,
yeah,
and to look a bit like the Master, and so you're there thinking, going, oh, where's Shardavan hiding around corners and listening in, and actually, he's the hero.
Is it actually explain why the Master wants to be the Portreeve?
It is, in, I think he, because the whole thing is a trap for the Doctor.
But what trap? I mean, are we going to...
It's a recursive occlusion, obviously.
Yes.
It's a recursive occlusion, and if you wanted to trap the Doctor, you'd have to use a recursive occlusion, and so he sets up a recursive occlusion, because the only way he could trap the Doctor is to have a recursive occlusion, and so he sets up a recursive occlusion, because that's the only way he could trap the Doctor is a recursive occlusion.
Although, I say that, but I really do take the piss, but my favourite cliffhanger in all of Doctor Who is when the Doctor's like, we're caught in a space-time trap! I love that. I think that is so dramatic.
Kashi Rabbit is so much... It's really good, but it's really good once it gets... I mean, I'm nerdy and stuff, and I don't mind the TARDIS scenes, but really, once it gets away from the Zero Room and the TARDIS...
So basically you're saying it's good for one part.
The two parts, but yeah, once it gets away from the BBCB data bank thing and the influx and all that kind of thing, and just gets on with being on Castrovalva, then it's really good, and it's a really nice little community, and the characters are good, and you know, Michael Sheard and Derek Thingy and the Portreeve, and the Master's there, but the Master's there literally has just set the whole thing up as a trap for the Doctor, so that's why he's there as the Portreeve, so he can be in charge of the minions directly, and also so he can gloat at the Doctor.
But that makes no sense, because they make it clear that they have a mind of their own.
But that's typical of, you know, the Master slightly screws up. The Master sets up a society that's so convincing that the people who are supposed to be just imaginary people actually develop their own intelligence, sentience.
But even if they were, say the Master does have control of them, what are they going to do?
Well, they're there to trap the Doctor.
Yeah, but what is the trap?
The recursive occlusion.
Yeah, but what's going to happen? Say it works. He's going to become
recursively occluded.
He's just going to be deleted.
Well, the whole thing kind of falls in on itself, doesn't it? Because it doesn't really exist.
But the Master would still be there at that point.
That's why the Master needs to leave. Because he's using Adric to do it all. He's using Adric's mass brain. So he can kind of go outside.
Basically.
Instead he gets caught a bit like the way Caligula's killed in I, Claudius. He gets kind of grabbed by the people on the way out.
Basically, it doesn't really make sense.
There's a little bit of a problem there, but I mean, I don't...
It suffers from everything Bibmead.
But it's one of those things that feels entirely like it makes sense while you're watching it, and that's fun for me. I don't...
Chris Bibmead going, oh, the science is so much more, oh, it's worthy, it's good.
Yeah, I love all that stuff. I love box traffic conversation and entropy.
Oh my god.
I love Castrovalva.
The fact that... I quite like it. That's about it. The fact that in a year, Chris Bibmead, with his tactics, for the most popular Doctor of all time, managed to lose 10 million viewers, I think.
I don't think you can really compare the viewing figures of Doctor Who when ITV wasn't on strike directly with the viewing figures of Doctor Who when ITV was on strike. I think that's a slightly unfair comparison.
True.
Against his... Oh, yeah, let's take the highest-rated Doctor Who episode of all time and then say you've lost 10 million viewers because now there's another channel back.
But you must admit, even if you compare average viewing figures, it's not a good comparison for Bib Mead in that series.
I know why people don't like it.
No, I'm fine with people liking it. I'm not trying to go... I don't think that's what Doctor Who should be. I don't think Doctor Who should be six.
Oh, I hate the fucking... season 19 isn't what Doctor Who should be. It's like, no, what Doctor Who should be is varied. And there's the brilliance of Doctor Who.
It should be varied, but it should be fun.
And it is fun.
No, it's not.
I think Kiefer Tarkin is fun. I think Kestrel's got stuff like the girl doing her 1-2-3 thing, the which way is to the Fortress House that way, or that's democracy. That stuff is fun. The whole Kestrel society and the...
I think that's fine if you're a nerd. No, I'm not... I like it. I like Kestrel. But what I'm saying is, I don't think your average kid likes it.
Well,
even in the 80s, I think every kid was going, where's Adam Ant?
Where's Adam Ant?
Whatever, you know.
What? You're now criticising Christopher Bidmead for not having Adam and the Ants in, or do you mean for not having Adam Adamant in?
Either. I'm just saying, I just don't think it's what... It's not a fan... It doesn't appeal to, you know, a great many people.
I don't
people.
Think it should do something Russell T. Davis would win.
No.
I don't think it's a brilliant piece of television writing or anything, but I think it's, you know, fine. And I think what pisses me off about the whole anti-season 18, anti-science in Doctor Who thing is I take against anything, any criticism, where the criticism is Doctor Who isn't like that, Doctor Who shouldn't do that, whatever. I mean, fair enough, if you're doing it in an extended block, like a season, and suddenly all your stories are really sciencey, when they're not all that sciencey. Really.
No, I'm not saying that, because I think...
But I do think there's a place for more sciencey Doctor Who stories. I think there's a place for pure historicals. I think there's a place for comedy. I like that you could sit down and watch a bunch of Doctor Who stories and them be quite different in tone and concept.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But they should all be exciting. And Bib Mead does... Logopolis, for example, which is the last story of the most iconic Doctor, and he doesn't. It's just dull.
It's not dull. It's good.
Fuck off! Even you must say that.
I like Logopolis. I like, you know, the whole fucking universe is in danger.
Oh yeah, the whole universe is in danger. So we see that for 2 seconds on a fucking thing where someone's coloured out a bit of universe. That is terrible. That is such bad storyline.
Yeah, I imagine if there was, you know, a budget, you would show all of the planets and all their cities vanishing, and you could even show Matilda Orionsis. But I quite like it. I mean, I like it because, again, I like the Master and I like block transfer computations and I like the scale of the problem. The whole heat death.
Yeah, this game.
I like the way it ties in with the CVEs.
And the Doctor.
I like the Watcher. I like the music.
Yeah, that's good. The Watcher's good. It doesn't make any sense. But
I think, you know, flushing the TARDIS out, the TARDIS is stupid.
Oh, my.
I'll accept
the
that.
The single worst moment in Doctor Who?
No.
Where the Doctor suddenly says, do you know what would be good? Is if I suddenly lost all sense. And this isn't the same story. Where you're meant to believe his scientific capabilities.
I'm saying I accept that as a silly bit. I do think it's nice. It has a nice tone to it. It has a doom-ladenness. I mean, I like...
Of course it does. If you land underneath the Thames and open your doors, you'd crush everyone. Destroy... Probably flood the TARDIS.
No, I accept that. It's silly. But yeah, anyway, we've gone on a complete tangent that doesn't involve...
The King's Demons.
The King's Demons and Planet Fire. So the King's Demons was a bit pointless overall, wasn't it? I mean, at the end, they just unusually for the story, they basically solve it by fucking off. They take comedian and leave.
I remember reading RTD saying that the worst thing you can do is just use the TARDIS as an escape. But they do for the King's Demons. And which is actually fine, because the Master's caused such a little problem, it doesn't really matter. And
yeah, well, even doesn't the doctor actually say, I mean, that's kind of the giveaway, that the doctor even says, you know, this is small beer for the master. It's like, oh, well, fair enough, say that if you want.
And Chameleon...
Chameleon is pretty dreadful, isn't he?
I don't get why they ever thought it'd be a good idea. Maybe having a chameleon, someone that can, you know, take any form, and someone...
You'd think they would have worked round the problem of a shit robot that didn't really work, given that it's a shapeshifter, by just having it take a form. But then what the TARDIS really didn't need was another companion. It didn't need, and particularly a companion who could basically help you, the Doctor, win every time by just taking a magically taking a different form. None of that's really a good...
Oh, Doctor, you've encountered the they're sex creatures from Planet 5. What do you need? A star-shaped cock?
I was thinking more. Oh, Doctor, you've met the Daleks again and they're after Davros. Well, I'll just take Davros's form and order them to stand down.
Yeah, I thought star-shaped cock, but you're right there.
I think that says a lot about, and also the fact that unlike in Castrovalva, and unlike at kind of in Time Flight, and unlike in Planet Fire, because it's a big reveal, the moment you see Sejour Estram face on, you go, oh, it's Antonini.
Yeah.
And the fact that the Doctor and Tegan seem completely oblivious of this, unfortunately, makes them look a bit silly. It's not, you know, it's not a cunning disguise that anyone who knows the Master is
I didn't know he was in it.
Yeah.
And then he turns up and you're like...
He has a couple of scenes early on where he's kind of, it's back to the camera and that you get away with it. The moment he suddenly appears outdoors, face off.
No, it's terrible. It is terrible. And...
Hello! Good morning. I don't know what else to say about them, apart from... you got straight away that the Iron Maiden was the Master.
Yeah, no, I guess that. I mean, it was so...
I didn't, but I was...
It was obvious that the only other thing you see is something that could be a TARDIS.
Yeah, I was a bit like, well, they're not surely going to actually spike the Master.
Yeah, but that comes down to it being a bad... end for the story, not to do...
And it had Christopher Villiers in, who I kind of recognise, although I'm sure his brother looks like him as well, I may have been really recognising his brother, and Isla Blair, who you and I last saw flopping her middle-aged tits out in the final cut.
In the final cut, I was just like, every 2 seconds her tits were just... I'm going to be this middle-aged fuck buddy of another fat middle-aged man.
Those were challenging scenes to watch.
Honestly, after the first, you know, the final cut, and what's the second one?
To play the king,
which is brilliant. And then you suddenly got this just whole plot point about middle-aged sex. It's like, I really don't want to see this. And she seemed too liberal in being prepared to just splash her tits all over the place. And when you said that what's her face from The King's Demons was her, I was just actually brought back
Mrs. Carol the Jaguar.
You did actually bring bad memories back.
Yeah, it's some flashbacks.
Well, bonjour.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much you. If you didn't know what to think about The King's Demons and Planet of Fire, you will be pretty much less. And obviously, we didn't mention the bit at the end of Planet of Fire where he goes, "Won't you show mercy to your own?"
Definitely talking about Time Lords, not...
To your own, full stop. Yeah, not your own brother.
Yeah.
Your own. I think he should be saying, "Won't you show mercy to your own half-stepson?"
Your own pet. Fire company?
What?
Well, you could be a... You know,
won't you show mercy to your own business partner? Won't you show mercy to your own fellow barbershop quartet?
On Gallifrey, they both ran like... They owned a log fire company that...
I know, I think they owned antiques shops and fought over Honor Blackman, and it was that that inspired the ITV sitcom Never the Twain. Why don't you show mercy to your own rival antique shop owner? Why don't you show mercy to your own cook? You're saying that, hang on, the Master is so small in Planet Fire, he is actually the Doctor's cock. Is that what he was...
He's probably in proportion smaller than the Doctor's cock.
How small must the Master's cock be once he's shrunk down? He must have the tiniest Time Lord cock.
Oh. Barisa.
Is that why he wants immortality?
Mm.
To try and make up for... It's like, what, a lifetime...
Lost time.
The way he's going to deal with a lifetime of having an incredibly small genitals is to extend that immortally forever. Or does he think that what he gets by winning the game of Rassilon is...
A new penis.
Bigger penis.
Well, seriously. His penis. None of this is good material.
We don't...
Stop it!
By which you mean press the stop button.
Well, yes.
Is that one there?
Drunk-a-hoo! Hey! Drunk-a-hoo! Drunk-a-hoo! Hey! We talk pissed! Drunk-a-hoo! Hey! Drunk-a-hoo! Drunk-a-hoo! Hey! Drunk-a-hoo!
Drunk-a-hoo!
Hey!
Drunk-a-hoo! I hope I don't sound as drunken.
Bad luck.
With every word, I was like, I will say this properly, but I can't. My face won't let me say words.